I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com alongside my good friends, Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear what you have to say today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at Double T 97.3.com. You can also access it through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. How you going, fellas?
I'm good. Immaculate grid perfection today.
You just ripped one? Like, what was that face about?
I had a very aggressive sneeze where it was like stinging my nose before I got to the sneeze, like I had just sniffed a bee or something. That was crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it looked bad.
I'm sorry you had to see that.
Yeah, me too. No, so 9 for 9. That's twice this week.
And that's twice ever. And yesterday was a 6. Today's a 9.
So, nice. Yeah. So what we're looking for here, Gus, is some consistency.
I know. I need a streak.
You know?
We're going streaking!
I mean, he hopes so.
The new hotkey right there, Dickens. So. It only took 2 days, but we got a new hotkey.
Okay.
I requested that on Wednesday.
We had a 30-minute show.
Oh, that was a full show. Hey, I was prepared.
And clearly, I played it.
I was invested.
I played it from the email.
Yeah. Yesterday, I brought it up. It kind of, he was like, oh, man, I forgot. And so then he clicks on YouTube, and we wait like 2 minutes. And we got it.
It was not two minutes.
I don't have much to razz, Clint, about. That's your department. I finally got a little minor thing there. So.
Oh!
Whoa!
Right. Hey, yo! I feel like that's a pastime that everybody can enjoy, Gus.
I know, favorite pastime. I've overtaken baseball. Yeah. I've done it.
Dip my toe in that little pond there.
Take that, baseball.
Good show yesterday. The oddly specific music request Thursday go off without a hitch.
We had good responses.
Choice was here, so.
How did Woodman take the theme? Did he appreciate it?
There was withheld anger and frustration the first 15 minutes, as we told him.
Kind of an eye roll, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knew.
Reserved wrath, if you will.
He knew that it started with songs that remind you of Dickens, and then transitioned to songs about money, because he was there. He caught the gist.
I have a blast from the past, mm-hmm, with a tie to the future coming up in about, let's just call it 3:30.
Starring Michael J. Fox.
No.
Oh.
And this is someone that I'm guessing that maybe 3 people will remember.
Oh.
But still kind of a funny, like, small world.
Okay.
We have John Canzano's Pac-12 postmortem, some interesting anecdotes in there to dissect. We have a Rangers game. We have a San Francisco reunion with the Rangers skipper.
Yeah, Boach returning to, he was what, managed there 10, 11 years. More importantly, won 3 world championships. So making his triumphant return to San Francisco and nursing a 2.5 game lead over the Astros.
We also have some new viewing numbers for the month of June, which, you know, at this point with the Pac-12 thing kind of settled, it's not just super relevant, but I still find it interesting, so we can get into that at some point. And of course, all along the way, your thoughts and comments welcomed and encouraged on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says, this blast from the past, underrated movie.
I got nothing. I watched The Natural last night.
Really?
It was one just of those, stumble across it, and then there, here you go, hour and 45 minutes later. Here I am. Watching the finale. And it dawned on me during the movie last night.
It was a baseball, huh?
Yeah, it was. I think I knew that part going in, but the just how beautiful Kim Basinger was back in the day. I mean, and now there's, you know, she's old or whatever, but a lot of plastic surgery and all that stuff. But she was absolute classic beauty back in the day. My goodness.
Trying to put together some movies that I haven't seen in a while that I kind of want to revisit with some age on me now. Like, I haven't seen Boogie Nights in forever.
That's a good one. Yep. Burt Reynolds' only Oscar.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so.
Wow.
Speaking of great actors with only one Oscar, one of the ones I rewatched the other night, and again, stumbled across it, watched the last hour or so, was The Untouchables. And that was Sean Connery, I think his only Oscar. Got it for Best Supporting.
Which is a crime. He really should have won one for Highlander.
Yeah, there may be sarcasm there or not. I don't know. I can't argue with you. I don't know. I can't.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't done like a Hollywood Immaculate Night. Like that.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you kind of got it with the 6 degrees of separation, but, you know,
you get the awards.
Sure. And the key thing is you got to have the bones. The bones of it has to be the database that can be, you know.
Surely IMDb has the structure for that.
No doubt. Especially what you're saying, because the categories across the thing could be, you know, you could have movie titles. You could have actors and actresses. You could have, Oscar for best, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you really could. Kind of opened up a thought process or a challenge, I guess, because they immediately, of course, Baseball Reference is also Football Reference, Basketball Reference, Hockey Reference, but they immediately came out with, you know, within what, 3 months of baseball coming out, they've got all four sports going. I'm still like you. I want the college
football.
Sports, and it would be harder to do the two school thing, but give me in it, you know, 30 catches or 50 catches or coaching totals and all that. Like,
or you could do like coached at.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if you know those databases drill down that far, as in like,
into,
hey, Bill Parcells is an assistant coach at Texas Tech and whatever.
Cool.
But that would be really neat. It's funny, it like those small, low commitment kind of in and out games,
like Wordle.
Seem to be kind of having their moment in the sun.
They really do. They're the perfect kind of break time activity, or sitting there at lunch and sort of check out it really is. I don't know that it takes away my stress, but it takes away the any kind of important stuff. If you're worried about something or whatever, gnawing at you, you're like, nah, I can just sit here and try to figure out who played for the, you know, for the today. The challenge was it was the D-backs.
Clearly, you retain D-backs a lot of Marlins. That stuff too after you're done.
I did get a Red Raider in there today. Yeah. I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
I feel
playing.
Like once you're consistently popping nines, you know, you need to kind of up the ante by having like, okay, I'm going to get nine and a former Tech player in there.
I agree. And there have been three Tech opportunities this week that I'm aware of, and I hit two of them. Our man David Collier, he didn't get the one today. He got the one I didn't think of earlier this week. And our man Parker Mashinsky evidently is good at this. But Parker, like, and he sent me his. I sent him mine, and he sent me his today, of course. And evidently, he's just nines all the time. But it's all his buddies. It's all these guys he plays with and against that are like him, getting called up and down and
it's
traded.
Timmy.
Yeah, and so everybody he puts on his thing, like, he didn't have anybody before like 2010 on there, and maybe not even 2020. But he just roasts it every week.
More Tech Talk next on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders' favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some Headlines. How about this? Texas Tech track and field director Wes Kittley, the GOAT, the Hall of Famer, the longest tenured Texas Tech head coach in school history, has agreed to a new 7-year contract with Texas Tech. He will be among the highest paid collegiate track and field head coaches nationally under his new contract, which is valued at just over $3.8 million, and that does not include potential performance bonuses. How about that? Great news for Wes Kittley, one of the best to ever do it in
any
sport.
Absolutely. Love that news.
Jose Bautista, who you might recall had a pretty interesting home run in the playoffs, bit of a bat flip. He has signed a one-day contract with the Toronto Blue Jays in order to retire as a member of the team. 42 years old, 6-time All-Star, a 247 career batting average, 344 home runs, 975 RBI. He played 15 seasons.
I think you buried the lead there. You didn't bury the lead, but you left out maybe a key fact. He had the big home run the 1 year, and then the next year he got popped in the nose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cowards wouldn't sign him on the day they were playing the Padres or wherever Odor is now.
That's true. I like it.
Give him one last fight, one last shot.
Man. Texas Rangers play tonight. They'll take on the San Francisco Giants. That game will start at 9:15 Central Time. Our pregame coverage will begin for you at 8:40 here on Double T 97.3. The Rangers are holding a 2.5-game lead in the AL West over the defending world champion Houston Astros. And finally, Oklahoma and Houston announced today they will play a non-conference series beginning next year. They will play in Norman next year, and then the Sooners will return in Houston, maybe at TDECU Stadium, maybe NRG, who knows, in 2028. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Duff in Houston says this, "Happy Friday, gents. Aaron, this feels like a good day to send yourself an email. If anything, just to hear the jingle." Well, we will have that for sure on Monday, because at that point we'll have learned the halftime act of the Big 12 football championship game. Do you remember who you predicted?
I think I went pretty big.
You did.
Did you go Lizzo?
No.
No, that would have been smarter.
Although now, probably not.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. At the time, it would have been smart, and that's not so much now.
But it was, we went with... Mm-hmm.
I think I went with Big J himself, right?
You did, Jay-Z, and yeah. I predicted Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. The Stallion.
The Stallion.
Because we were thinking of the Houston side of that and the Rock Nation side of that.
Right. So we'll find out how we did on...
I hope I nailed it.
On Monday. We get this in the chat line. Got a thing for a Roller Girl AD. Yeah, no, she was a highlight for sure. It was a really great movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm in love with you.
Okay. Yeah, it was a really good movie. And a lot of great performers. Right? Like, William Howard Macy's in that? The guy that was... Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. My man who's War Machine in the MCU, isn't it?
Don Cheadle.
Yes.
Bobby Bonds.
Yes. Oh. Yes, Don Cheadle's in it.
Barry's father, Bobby.
This in the chat line. I'm wondering if Rodney Allison's family is okay in Maui. I mean, those fires are scary.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's, that's killing people and burning up a lot of stuff and history. That's rough.
That's what's always kind of frightened me about islands is you can't really go anywhere.
Yeah. climb the mountain, I guess. But the problem with that is that's where the trees are that are burning, I guess. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I saw the news report about it the other night. Like six people have been killed, and that's probably, what, Wednesday?
I think it's up to like 30-something now.
Oof. I'm definitely either going with Tuesday or Wednesday with the six. I was early on that. That's tough, man.
How about this, man? We are we're 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from today, we will be at the Overton, right? In advance of Texas Tech's first. No, actually, we won't be at the Overton because it's a road game. Duh. Mm. Well, either way, 3 weeks from today, we'll be counting down the hours for the season opener.
Yes, we will.
We'll be overlooking the hell out of Wyoming.
3 weeks from today, I'll be in the car to Laramie, actually.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
John C. Riley also in Boogie Nights. Thank you, Matt. Good call. You already booked your lodging?
Yes. I didn't. Daughter-in-law did. Airbnb. Like, supposedly walking distance from the ball yard.
Really?
Yeah. Pour myself a cold one and take off walking. Mill around, come back, refresh, head over for the game.
Will you be cautious with your beveraging, considering the altitude?
Well, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Boo. No,
probably not.
I'll say this, probably not intentionally.
I say be more aggressive.
Yeah,
more aggressive?
Pin your ears back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
If you are still standing by the second quarter, I'm going to be disappointed.
How many? I'm not asking you if you've puked yet. How many times? That's what we want to know.
Looking for a bounce back, Gus. Come on.
That's
rally.
At my age, it better not get that far because there won't be a bounce back. Nor will there be a rally.
How do you think you're feeling about this Oklahoma-Houston series if you're Oklahoma State?
Don't have any room for us, but you can squeeze in one of those.
Well, I mean, to be fair to the Sooners, I mean, Oklahoma State is the one, at least publicly, that seems to be more inclined to just, oh, no, sorry, it's full. We're not looking to play you. But, I mean,
if that's the case.
It was
then.
Like Gundy was like, oh, how are we supposed to move around Southern Illinois in 2031? I mean, they have completely boxed us in over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, next year they have South Dakota State, Arkansas, and Tulsa. 2025, they play UT Martin, Tulsa at home, and then they're at Oregon.
This is OSU.
Oklahoma State, yeah. They have Oregon at home in 2026. I'll be interested to kind of see what Oregon does with its future schedules. You know, are they going to maybe drop some of those? Are they going to emphasize more just kind of home games because of travel and stuff?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, that's... I guess if you're OSU, you can't really chirp the Houston series. And the tough part about it, too, is one like that isn't going to be moved out. Like Clint was joking about Southern Illinois. Those are the ones that do get moved around and pushed off and pushed back and all that, whereas a Houston one's probably going to get locked in and set. So it wouldn't seem that they're going to have a bunch of or, you know, something there that could be moved around, I wouldn't think.
Well, especially now that you've signed this and agreed to it post all this realignment shuffling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I haven't looked at any of the recent contracts, but the ones that I have looked at, like the Oregon series, the NC State series, the Tech signed, I've seen those contracts, and they include, hey, if there's a change in conference composition, something like that, we reserve the right to withdraw from this agreement. And so that's why I kind of look at Oregon and go, okay, well, are they going to pull that with any of their schedules? This is the EH Flooring Center chat line from Lindale Jeff. I just got back from Breckenridge. I like how he mentioned like Colorado, as if I would have thought like it was Breckenridge, Arkansas. But either way, Lindell Jeff says, just go out to Breckenridge, Texas. Colorado.
Yeah.
Altitude did nothing to me with beer and Jameson. Go for it, Gus.
Okay.
I would just like to say Breckenridge, Nebraska is beautiful.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not as nice as Breckenridge, Massachusetts.
Breckenridge, Texas is between here and DFW.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. We get this from Lindell Jeff. AD, I bring up Colorado because I was born in Breckenridge, Texas.
There we go.
That's why I always have to specify. Not with us. If you ever text in and say Breckenridge, we'll just assume Colorado unless you say otherwise. It's like Paris. We're going to just assume France and not Texas. You know?
Yep.
Okay. Could get you into trouble.
I'm willing to risk it. Brennan says, this small world, but currently headed back from Breckenridge, Colorado, with the family, can attest to the lack of effect altitude had on consumption.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know the science behind it that you're even referencing.
Speaking of small worlds and Colorado, Clint, I have no expectation that you have any idea who this person is. You probably almost certainly don't. Right.
But oh, this was
Trevor
your small
Riley.
World.
Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
No, it doesn't.
Trevor Riley. This is 18 years ago.
Okay.
18 years ago, almost to the day, actually. In fact, yeah, 18 years ago to the day, August 11th, 2005, Trevor Riley committed to play football for Mike Leach. 6'5", 200-pound linebacker out of San Diego. It's California, by the way. San Diego, California. Now, obviously, did not end up here. He took a two-year LDS mission. And when he returned, he ended up walking on at Utah. I don't know if Tech wasn't interested any longer or if he chose that he wanted to go to Utah instead. But when he came back from his LDS mission, he ended up walking on at Utah. This is the person you might recall if you've been following this for a long time. He had set some kind of record for eating a raw onion.
Oh.
In fact, that was partially what kind of, you know, what Mike Leach was enamored by. Was the fact that he had set a record for eating a raw onion?
Whether he was or not, that's what he talked about. Leach would.
So you know, he was a 2-star prospect coming out of high school, lightly recruited. Tech offered him. He committed. LDS mission, came back, walked on at Utah. Actually, had a pretty good career at Utah. He was a pretty good player for the Utes. He ended up getting drafted in the 7th round. In 2014, I think it was.
By the Jets, right?
I think by the Jets. And he, you know, had a cup of coffee in the NFL. He bounced around the league a little bit, practice squad here, practice squad there for a few years. And then he ultimately ended up going into coaching. And currently, he is the lead special teams analyst for Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. How about that? How about that little blast from the past and like also that? A peek in the future?
You know, I heard that Deion Sanders hired him because he was enamored with how he could eat a raw onion.
Hey, man, great minds think alike.
Yeah, like that.
Like he ate an entire raw onion? Or I just guess, like an apple?
Here, let me Google.
I guess to have sped through the eating of a raw onion, I mean, you'd have to be, if you were going to be enamored by it, it would have to have a speed component to it, right?
I think I'd be more enamored if someone walked up and it was like with an apple level of speed, just eating it.
Yeah, just consuming it. And like you're just looking at them like, oh.
All right, so you want more info on the onion deal?
He was at
a church event.
As you taught me a year ago, got 3 hours.
3 hours.
Get after it, dude.
He was at a church event that was solely focused on breaking records, right? They had, at that point, the world's largest pillow fight. There were other records like shoving grapes in your mouth or shoving kids in a Volkswagen.
Stop, Timmy. You're going to choke.
Yeah, probably. And then they're like, hey, try to eat this onion. And the stakes were you had to eat a 7.5-ounce onion as quickly as possible. And I don't know if that includes like the papery peel part or, you know, anyways, like the whole thing. Anyways. He ate a 7.5-ounce white onion in 1:35.
Mercy.
You think that's still standing? Or
no,
that's
no, it's definitely not. The old record was 2:40. He blew through that, and he had that world record for about a year until someone from England broke it. He said that he smelled like an onion for a couple of days, and I don't really eat onions ever since.
And that's... That's what you're talking about, Clint. If you're doing that in 1.5 minutes, I mean, he's having to...
Oh, yeah, he's chomping away. He's probably fighting through some tears in there, I would assume.
God. He can also... Trevor Riley can also eat a Big Mac in one bite.
There's a McDonald's right there.
Really? Yeah, quote, I can shove it in my mouth and consume it. I never did that professionally or anything, but we used to see how many bites we could do it in, and finally I got down to where I could do it in one. Just mash it in and swallow it.
Gah. That's
and
a
see,
big
like,
old,
here's what's
that's a big old mouthful if you're getting the whole like, Big Mac in there.
Like, Big Mac contest sounds like small town Kansas entertainment. Like, you know, we have nothing else to do but see how, you know.
Not true. We don't have a McDonald's.
He was in San Diego, man. Like, there's all kinds of crap to do in San Diego.
Those big city kids.
Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, realize that you don't have one in a McDonald's in Mullinsville.
And he went on like a Rum Springa, right? You say that?
I don't think so. He's LDS, not Amish.
Oh, my bad.
Gee, Walker, yeah, so we could.
I'm gonna BYU and Utah are gonna love
they're gonna
me when they get
hate
over
you,
here,
dude. They're gonna be like the dudes in the ice skates. Yeah.
As soon as they catch up, they're not going to be unfamiliar.
Yeah. Rumspringa. Jeez. Tyler says, just drink more in altitude. YOLO. Sam says...
Is that a thing? What were you getting at? Is that a thing? Like, the altitude messes with your...
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, no.
drink more.
Well, we just had two people refute the poor, shabby science here.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's easier to... If you're not used to the altitude, it's easier to get dehydrated.
Ah, okay.
And so, obviously, if you drink more, you're...
Got it.
So you're dehydrating yourself.
So, probably more than ever, this is a good day for beer, water.
Sure.
That's usually a good practice. Sounds like it's a really good practice there. Noted.
Duff in Houston says, it's easy to forget that Lubbock is 3,200 feet above sea level. That's Mount Everest to us down here.
It is, and... It's a big reason. It's a neglected reason why the ball people think about the baseballs flying here, maybe golf balls too, but it's part of the conversation. Everyone equates it always with the wind, mm-hmm. and that's a big part of it when the wind's blowing one direction or the other. But the just straight up elevation is that's another one of the interesting facts. AD, we talked about Lubbock as the second or third biggest city in the conference for a long time until a year ago, I guess. Well, or now, Lubbock's been the highest elevation, and it wasn't even close. Like the second highest mm-hmm. was West Virginia at 1,000 or something, and we're at like 3,100, I think.
Now we're pretty mid.
Yeah, we definitely are taking a backseat to BYU in that department. Utah, probably.
Love to get your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com.
Boulder.
Colorado or Texas?
Nebraska.
Coming up,
did you
we
want
have
me to
some...
say a state too? Sorry.
Do what?
Did you want me to say a state?
Pick one on the Great Plains.
Right, Florida.
The blame game has started in Pac-12 country. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. There's a John Canzano article that came out this morning that has a few separate things that are really, really delicious, really. So we'll chop that up next on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3. I can shove it in my mouth and consume it.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hello, hi, how are you? How you going? Thank you for spending part of your Friday with us alongside Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. John Canzano had an article, kind of a Pac-12 postmortem today on his Substack. It's free to read. I think John Wilner has just come out with something similar for his audience. A couple of takeaways, but first, this part literally made me laugh out loud as I was reading it this morning. Quote, still, Robbins and six other members of the Pac-12 CEO group miraculously arrived at Friday's 7 a.m. board meeting prepared to sign the grant of rights. In blood, he said. At least two of the Pac-12 presidents were so eager to get it done, they had executed the document the night before per multiple conference sources. Gee, I wonder what two schools were so eager to sign that they had actually did it the night before.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But really, and did you read this, Gus?
Uh-uh.
Did you read it, Clint? No one reads it? Okay, I'll read. my biggest takeaway is these presidents are idiots. I mean, I'm being dead serious.
Right. Plato, Aristotle,
yeah.
Socrates.
Yes.
Morons.
Thank you.
At no point, they just kind of handed it all over to Kliavkov. And, you know, even after a full year, they kept, you know, he was just spoon-feeding them BS over and over and over again. And, you know, they were shocked. They were shocked when he came to the table finally with a crap offer. It was like, have you been paying attention at all?
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, go back in history. And this is the same group that signed off on several bad decisions. And I'm not even talking about the, you know, hiring Kliavkov or hiring his predecessor, but just, you know, the stuff they've said no to, the stuff they've said yes to. I mean, they've really gotten several big decisions wrong over the last 10 to 12 years. So, with that in mind, it doesn't, you know, it's not a big surprise.
I mean, they let Kliavkov hire a boutique kind of media agency to help guide them along in this process. And the person who led that agency was one of his classmates.
Yeah, law school. Yeah, University of Virginia Law School.
Whereas Brett Yormark hires, like, IMG Endeavor, which is, like, you know, the Death Star in that yeah. space. You know, ESPN offers the Pac-12 a $30 million deal. Not that dissimilar to what the Big 12 eventually got. No, this was ESPN all in. The Big 12 has ESPN and Fox. But money-wise, it would have been similar early on. And the Pac-12 responded, no, we want $50 million a year for each of our schools. And ESPN essentially hung up and was never really ever involved seriously ever again.
Overplayed your hand there, fellas.
A little bit. Yeah, I just, like, it's hard to read that piece from Canzano, who has been as pro-Pac-12 as anybody over the last 13 months and not just like walk away thinking that some of these presidents are just buffoons.
Right,
like,
some malpractice. Yeah.
How could you... It's easily the most important kind of juncture for any conference. When you are in the when you are negotiating a new media deal, that is your lifeblood. That is what keeps you going. That provides stability and security and keeps your members together. And to just go hands off and trust that Klyavkov, hey, I realize that this is taking 13 months, but hey guys, we're getting great options. And they bought it. They bought it. How does that work?
Patient, it'll be better.
How does that work? How do you get to be a university president at a place like Stanford, at a place like Cal, at a place like, you know, Utah or Arizona or Oregon State, and not kind of raise some level of alarm after, I don't know, 4 months, 6 months? Like, hey, George, show us your work.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
Like, there was apparently a deal group, and I don't know if there's like a more technical term for that, but that's what it's referred to in Canzano's piece, that just wouldn't share information with the presidents. And those are the bosses. Like, they're in charge. It's insane. Like, I don't understand. And that's why maybe I don't feel just super sorry for Oregon State and Wazoo, and definitely not for Stanford and Cal, because at any point you could have, like, banged on the table and said, hey, WTF, like, let's see what you're working on here. Turn over your paper.
Yeah, that's you're 100% right. And you know, show me in the record where they were, because they have been vocal, and some of that is just the right response if you're on the losing end of this. But it would be great somewhere in the to be able to say somewhere or show somewhere in the record where we pushed for this, but USC wanted to do that, you know, or we pushed for this and, you know, got voted down or whatever, like that you were on the right side of the decision. But it's like right now, just handing the keys over to, it sounds like they were just complicit with all that, handing the keys over to Klyavkov. And you, when you put it in the context that you just put it in, that where they asked for 50, you know, if your Martin was aware of that, and it probably wouldn't be hard information to get if you're just in that conversation, you've got the right media consultant that's going, hey, here's what just happened. You're like, you almost offended them with, you know, yeah, a non-starter type offer in a way that, like, hey, now's the time to strike, fellas, because we can come in there and we you know, we got an opportunity while they're at an impasse.
Yeah, because, like, to put it in other terms that people might better understand, I mean, the Big 12 hired essentially the Scott Boras of that space.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pac-12 hired their buddy down the street.
Right. Yes.
Who had never done anything like this before. Here's a quote from the article. Quote, Klyavkov assured his bosses for months that a satisfactory media rights deal was just around the corner. I need your patience, he told them. A little more time, Klyavkov said, and the presidents believed him. Right up until that Tuesday meeting when the commissioner unveiled a $23 million a year Apple deal that required his membership to take a leap of faith. They had hoped for a big bang, but the gun was empty.
And they had all, yeah, I mean, the other side of it was they had hoped for some linear in there. And that was going to all be behind paywalls, and it was a subpar dollar amount. Goodness.
Yeah, so the sports media advisors, the boutique kind of media agency that Klyavkov hired, and, I mean, to be fair, that was signed off by the Pac-12 CEOs. They formed a tight-knit, quote, deal team comprised of a handful of select individuals, and few particulars of the negotiation were shared outside of the deal team members.
I hope it won. Like, just at one point, they were like, hands in, deal team.
No, everyone here accounts for the deal team. Internally, they call themselves deal team six.
Oh, my God.
We're a bunch of killers.
Well done.
We're a bunch of killers.
Well done. You know what kind of hell we went through to be on deal team six?
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Tyler. Thank you for that sound bite, Clint. Brought joy to my day. I can shove it in my mouth and consume it. I wish I got paid every time that was played. I could retire in about a year or so.
I've got a couple of those in there on his hotkey like that.
More tech talk next.
I could be showing my buttocks.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? Happy Friday. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon. We would love to hear what you have to say today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com alongside Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. You can hit up the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or pull it up on the DoubleT973 mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Now we'll get this on the chat line. 80, just curious as to how engaged you think the Big 12 CEO group was in media negotiations. I would think that that group trusted your mark to take the lead on that. I don't pretend to know how involved they were. I think that the difference here, and I guess the line that I would draw between the Big 12 and the Pac 12 is, if that thing had drug out and taken 6 months, a year, I don't think that Lawrence Skouvenek, right, I don't think that the president at Baylor, I don't think that the president at Oklahoma State would just be kind of like, you know, sitting on their hands and just kind of waiting for an update. You know, like, oh, gee golly, I hope we get an update today. I mean, they would be knocking on his door demanding, because, and here's why, right? The difference between the Big 12 and the Pac 12, you guys watch many nature documentaries?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, in the savannah, right? Like, the not the gazelles, what are they called? The impala, right? Like, they are hyper aware of what's going on around them, right? Ready at the, I mean, drop of a hat to just run off as fast as possible because they know they are prey. They know there are tigers and cheetahs and, you know, lions and all kinds of crap that want to eat them.
Crocodiles.
Right? The Big 12 has been living that life.
Bears.
Living that life ever since 2010, right?
Yeah, we're good at it.
Hyper
yeah.
aware of their surroundings, of the situation, of the landscape, eyeing every kind of flicker of movement. The pack has not. Right, they're like a dairy cow that was just kind of transplanted on the savannah, and they didn't know that they were being hunted. Right?
Golly. You know,
it's weird that animals like go through the like the rear, right? When they eat another animal, that's.
Well, I guess you're not going through the like ribs.
Yeah, I guess.
But man. Yeah.
Kind of a downer to any kind of nature documentary. Kind of fast forward through that part. Sorry, we've seen the kill. All right, we'll move on.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah, I would. It feels like you gave the first hint of it because I've thrown this out there, like as you and I've talked about this a bunch. How much of your mark jumping the line with the Big 12 media rights was either and it feels like just of colossal utmost importance now with hindsight being 2020. Did he know how just cataclysmic this was going to be? Like no, this is the death move right here. We do this, it or is it just the new commissioner looking for a win? You know, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, look what we did. You know, like that, I wasn't even thinking that it was going to crush them. I was just trying to get our situation right. You know, how much will we ever know? I don't know. But if he had knowledge of the Pac-12 immediately coming at it wanting $50 million a team, and maybe saw some chum in the water, like, hey, that we've got, or if ESPN back channeled it back to them, like, hey, let's get a deal done. You know, we may never know the truth on that.
And maybe it was Endeavor. Maybe Endeavor was the one that said, hey, just on the down low, I mean, you might want to just get in while you can.
Right. But it feels like the genius stroke now. I mean, because it feels like that what we were dealing with was a, I mean, you'd say this about any negotiation, but I think what we probably, you and I might have thought if we were sitting here a year ago, and maybe a lot within the industry, I don't know, that no, there's enough money that both conferences are, somebody may not get all that they want, but I don't think you and I were sitting here a year ago going, this is a zero-sum game, and the first one to get their media rights done is the winner, and the second place finisher is the loser. But in hindsight, that looks exactly like what it was.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Justin. The difference is the Big 12 presidents care about students. The athletes are students, and they want them taken care of, to where the idiots on the West Coast only want scholars. How do you feel about that one there, Gus?
Well, I might disagree with some aspects of it, but I would assume that the Texas are putting student athletes in the one group and scholars in the other, scholarship, academia in the other. But you know, it's you know, there's probably blessings and curses with administrators who really love athletics, right? You may have one that gets really, really involved, and you wish, like, good God, here comes the chancellor stomping down the hallway again. You know, like, oh my God, what kind of harebrained nonsense is coming out of this deal? Or
that sounds very unfamiliar.
Yeah. Or you're better off to have someone, you know, that stays out of it and trusts the leadership and the chain of command and all, and you know, but I consider this is one of the many times that I consider our current setup here at Texas Tech, and I'm going athletic director, president, chancellor, and board of regents.
If you could lock this in.
Up the ladder, there's a lot of alignment, yes.
Yeah, if you could lock this in, obviously no one lives forever, but if you could lock in this level of alignment along all the different steps indefinitely, I think you would in a heartbeat. I think it's very, very good. I think it's very, very important. You don't always have that.
Mm-mm.
But you do at Texas Tech, and that's super valuable in terms of athletics.
It's like the alignment thing. I don't know how valuable it is to be aligned, but there's a tremendous cost, or there can be a tremendous cost when you're not aligned. You know what I mean? Like, it's like alignment may be a neutral, but not being aligned could be a disaster.
Because to kind of go up to the ACC stuff, which apparently is kind of fizzled out, like the ACC had a meeting of ADs and a meeting of university CEOs. And according to reports, like at Miami, and you would think that Miami would kind of be like into athletics. AD and the chancellor or whoever their university CEO is, different pages, completely different. Like the AD was like, no, why would we want to add Stanford and Cal? Like what are we doing here? What's the point? This is stupid. And the president was all for it. Right?
Yeah, probably seeing the academic side of it, you know, but it's not what that is. I mean, it's not what that's about. I mean, think about the travel, you know, like that might be even where the athletic director's looking at it going, oh my God, we're going to have tennis kids, you know, soccer teams flying across the country back and forth all fall, all spring, all winter. And you're sitting there telling it's going to, yeah, but they're AAU.
Great.
They're AAU. They've got no bells.
We have plenty of bells.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of TT973 podcasts at TT973.com.